Welcome to a burning fire, Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. When you talk about forgiveness, you're talking about a key issue of New Testament Christianity. Forgiveness is at the heart of the faith of Jesus Christ. Man's greatest need is to be forgiven of his sins by the Lord. The Heavenly Father has provided a way for that to take place. It's provided through Jesus Christ. The forgiving spirit also we are to have toward other people. That's been determined by Christ, for he is our master and our teacher and our example. Forgiveness, that's a matter of the heart. That's a matter of the mind. In Matthew we read, "So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not everyone his brother their trespasses." Living a Christ-like life, friend, involves having the same mind or attitude toward things as Christ had. And this was stated in the context of Philippians 2 and verse 5, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." Now, being a forgiving person, that's a matter of being obedient to the Lord. We're considering our forgiveness from God and also our being forgiving toward other people. And we must know what Christ has done in this matter and what he taught on that subject and what he expects of us in both areas. Now, various definitions are given in dictionaries as to what forgiveness is. It means to throw away guilt. It means to pass over, erase, to pardon, to cancel, to release, to not count, to blot out, to remit, wipe away. Well, it sort of means what's done is over and done. I prefer the definition, just let it go. That's what forgiveness is. Here's a situation, a bad situation. Just let it go. Maybe something is said, something is done that ought not have been done, said. But God lets it go as if it never occurred. And when someone offends another, friend, let it go. That's what forgiveness is. Now, when our Lord Jesus came to this earth, a major part of his mission was to provide the way of forgiveness. In Luke 24 and verse 47, "And that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem." And it said, "And the God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom ye slew and hanged on a tree. Him hath God exalted with his right hand to be the Prince and the Savior, for to give repentance to Israel," notice, "and forgiveness of sins." Acts 13 and verse 18, "Be it known unto you therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins." Paul wrote in Ephesians 4, verse 32, "And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." And he wrote to the Colossian brethren, "And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses." And when he announced to Mary the coming birth of the Lord, he said it was to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission, and that means by the forgiveness of their sins. Dearly beloved, Jesus provided for our forgiveness, and he taught us to be forgiving toward those who may sin against us. Now, the scripture reveals how he fulfilled that mission. Forgiveness is important to us because we all do sin, Romans 3 and verse 23. We sell our souls to Satan by sinning. A person is most blessed when he is forgiven. In Romans chapter 4, verses 7 and 8, "Blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven, and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute, he will not count sin. You know, so often men try to cover their sins the wrong way. In Proverbs 28 and verse 13, he that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. We can't cover our sins the wrong way and expect them to be covered. We can't cover our sins by working ourselves in righteousness. When we obey the gospel, a person is in no way attempting to work his way to heaven and seek his forgiveness by his own merit. You can't do enough good to remove the guilt of your sin, and my sin I can't either. You cannot cover your sin either by shifting the blame to somebody else. That was attempted by Adam. That was attempted by Eve. That was attempted by Aaron and Saul and many others. You certainly cannot remove the guilt of sin by denying that you have sinned. The only way to have our sins covered is for them to be forgiven. And how did Christ provide for our forgiveness? His is the role of a Redeemer who purchased us with his own blood. Ephesians 1 and verse 7, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. He stated that he came to give his life a ransom for many, and that his blood would be shed for many for the remission or forgiveness of sins. Now, we have noted that we sell our souls to Satan by sinning, but now we can add that he bought us back by his blood. And for this reason, we are not our own. We don't belong to ourselves. We've been bought with a price. And Paul said, ye are Christ, a possession of Christ. In 1 Corinthians 6, ye are not your own, for you're bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Friend, we are redeemed and we are justified by the blood of Christ, Romans 5 and verse 9. You know, the value of something is determined by the price that's paid for it. Now, I know the value that the Lord places upon the soul of man. I know the value that the Lord places on the church because of the price that was paid for it. Salvation for man didn't come cheaply. Our Lord gave his life for our salvation. You remember John the Baptist presented Jesus as the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world, and only the blood of Christ would suffice to accomplish that task. The sufficiency of Christ in forgiveness, why, that's noted in the fact that he was offered only once, Hebrews chapter 9 and also chapter 10. There's no need for repeated sacrifices as was done under the Mosaic system. The sufficiency of Christ in forgiveness is seen also in that he covers the sins of the whole world, 1 John 2 and verse 2. He's the propitiation for our sins and the sins of the whole world. Now, forgiveness of our sins takes place in the mind of God. In Luke 5 and verse 21, who can forgive sins but God? Jesus said, the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins. Matthew 9 and verse 6. It is God who forgives. Forgiveness, friend, is not determined by how we feel, nor according to man's terms or some creed book's terms. We're not forgiven because of our sincerity, of our need of being forgiven. We are forgiven only if we do what God says we must do to be forgiven. God is the offended one when we sin, and God is the one who determines how we will be forgiven. And we must consent and conform to his way in order to be forgiven. My dearly beloved, we will be forgiven his way or we won't be forgiven at all. Now, this brings us to our part in obtaining forgiveness. But when a person is forgiven by the Lord, that forgiveness is conditional. We must believe in Christ and repent of our sins and confess our faith and be baptized for the forgiveness or remission of sins. And what right does anyone have to claim he's been forgiven when he has not done what the Lord requires man to do? Now, since we're saved by the blood of Christ, we come in contact with God's cleansing agent, the blood, when we're baptized into his death. Romans 6:3-4. After all, that's where his blood was shed, was it not? John 19:34. The Christian who sins, he is forgiven by meeting the conditions that the Lord has specified for us to meet. And we are not forgiven until we have done the Lord's will. And what about our duty toward the other people that may have sinned against us? Well, we then have the opportunity to demonstrate the mind of Christ that we have. When Christ was dying on the cross, he prayed that others might be forgiven. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Stephen prayed for forgiveness of his persecutors. Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. Paul prayed for those who sinned against him. He said, may it not be laid to their charge. Stephen and Paul showed that they have the mind of Christ. In the course of life, offenses come. The important matter is, how do we deal with it? We must just simply let it go. Now, we are taught to pray, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And when ye stand praying, forgive if you have aught against any, that your heavenly Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses. My friend, we must forgive in order to be forgiven. The alternative to forgiveness, of course, is to carry a grudge and seek retaliation or vengeance and even try to even the score or hold to the barrier that separates us from others because of trespasses. Let me ask you, is such misery worth that? Vengeance belongs, after all, to God, not us. And grudge-holding only hurts the one who holds the grudge, not the person toward whom the grudge is held. Cannot we easily comprehend the Lord's attitude when we will not forgive? Now, if you have trouble forgiving somebody, you might try to pray like this. Lord, let's say the person that needs forgiveness is named, well, we'll call him John. Lord, forgive me as I forgive John. Now, if you'll pray that way, I think you'll find it easier to forgive John. When we refuse to forgive, friend, and do not have a willingness to forgive, we burn the very bridge of deliverance over which we must pass in order to enter heaven. And why would we allow somebody else's transgression against us keep us out of heaven? Ah, my friend, forgive. Let it go. This is a willful, deliberate action on our part that we must take. And after all, that's what God expects of us. Oh, the benefits that come from forgiveness. When God forgives us, we're reconciled to God. We'll become one of the saved. We're accepted again. And when we forgive others, we're united. We destroy the works of the devil. We're showing the attitude of Christ in our own lives. And what a tragedy it is, even when brethren will not forgive one another, when forgiveness is an imitation of the spirit and attitude of our Lord. Forgiveness, a very prime point in the doctrine of Jesus Christ. Thank you for listening to A Burning Fire, and remember to fear God and keep his commandments. Until next time.